There you go.
Yep, trash day.
Trash day
today.
Boom, boom.
I love being outside. You can drive by on Madison Avenue, honk your horn, say hi. And beyond that, drop by. You can see the tents outside that we're under. As we're broadcasting outside live to collect school supplies, school is coming up. We're in conjunction with Sleep Train.
Nice.
From now on, by the way, Katie, you need to whistle outside. Your whistles have been amazing.
It's something about our studio, because when we were in Vegas, that whistle sounded on point.
It was great.
My best whistle was in Vegas.
For some reason, when you're in studio, you struggle here. Let me try. Hold on. You lipped it. You lipped it.
She put the
saliva.
I knew what you were saying.
It's chapstick. Oh, you're gross. Yeah, now your mouth touched where my mouth touches. Blech.
Anyways, we're out here collecting school supplies for Sleep Train, for the foster kids that Sleep Train does so much for.
Yes.
They do so much amazing work, and it's one thing for us to endorse their beds and all the sleep supplies that they provide, and that's legit. We love them. But It's also awesome to be involved with a company that really, truly cares. Dale Carlson sent out that whole message. And anytime, Katie, you and I go down to the Sleep Train corporate offices, we do it once a year to kind of plug in and see what they're doing. 90% of the meeting, it's not about beds and sheets and mattresses. It's about what they're doing in the community for foster children. Yep. So it is an absolute honor for us to be a teensy, tiny little part of this drive, gathering school supplies, and I don't need to sit here and tell you on and on and on about how important that is and how many hurdles these kids have. So please do drop by 5244 Madison Avenue. We're out here, obviously, until 9 a.m., but we will be out here as a station collecting school supplies all the way till 7 p.m. The lowdown will be out here. Around noon, we're going to have the Barbecue Pro come out and help feed you as well. So come on down, say hi, drop off some supplies.
And there's people that are dropping off just money donations, too. If you don't have time to go get the supplies themselves.
And, you know, Target opens up. I think they're open right now, right down the street. You can drop off there. I mean, there's I don't need to tell you where all the stores are, because we have a gentleman on the line, a good friend of ours.
Yes.
Good friend of ours. Legendary Sacramento King, on to talk basketball and other things.
Yeah.
It's the one, the only Doug Christie. Doug, it's us. How are you, sir?
What's happening, guys and lady? How goes it this morning?
Fantastic. We're great, Doug. How are you?
Overflowing with knowledge, Doug.
Well, who gave you some damn knowledge? What the heck?
Dave mainlines it to me about 5:30 in the morning. I'm a little overwhelmed.
Yeah, we had a hard time this morning.
Why?
Well, Doug, I'll let Dave take this.
Oh, thanks a lot.
You're welcome. Have fun.
Thanks a lot, Katie. Just, hey, look at the bus that's rolling over Dave right now. All right, we want to talk basketball with Doug. We want to talk about the Kings and everything going on. That's where we're going to spend the bulk of our interview. Doug, you and I had a private conversation last night in which we spoke about your lovely wife, Jackie, and she is doing publicity interviews for the upcoming season of Basketball Wives. I believe it's season 6. I was perusing Deadspin last night as we were prepping out the show, looking for different stories. And there was a story on Deadspin, and it was referring to something Jackie said in an interview involving you. And before we get into this, Doug, because I love you, I just want to be clear about this. I looked up last night the FCC regulations because I know.
Bring up something and then put regulations on you. What the hell?
One word that you can't use when referring to
those parts. We can't say basketballs. Okay,
without the basket
right
in front.
What we can say, Doug, and what is acceptable, and you do what you want here. We can say boys, the jewels, grapes, cojones, stones, beanbags. Walnuts,
that's my favorite.
Junk. Any of those.
Just not the other one.
But the story, and I'll let you take it away, Doug, was Jackie was saying that in order to confirm or deny things, that occasionally she would recommend that some women, in fact, weigh those certain parts to check whether the gas tank is full or empty, Doug. And that thus concludes the most uncomfortable question I've ever asked in my entire career.
It wasn't really a question, but it take was it away, Doug.
Yeah, hi, Doug. Yeah.
Well, first of all, to have Dave stuttering on the air is absolutely epic. I just want to say that first and foremost. That is out of control. So are you trying to say that happened to me, Dave? Is that what you're saying? Is that what you're asking?
Let's be real clear. Dave, and I'm referring to myself in the third person.
Yes.
Dave is not saying anything. What Dave is relaying to Mr. Douglas Christie is that I saw an interview with your lovely wife in which she was saying that she will do a, let's just call it a heat check.
Okay.
I'm just relaying.
Sure, she will. My wife, I came up with a new nickname, and it's Cinco or Five, because my wife tends to exaggerate. So whatever she says, just divide it by five, friend. That's what we need to do. Okay, so, Katie, you're in the fray here. You know that, right?
I'm in it, yes.
You are in the fray.
Yeah.
So this is the question that I'll ask you. Katie, whose nuts are these?
Those are yours.
Those are D's.
D's, yes. Those are, no, I don't want to, no. God, Doug, I can't do this. We work together. This is awkward.
You stepped in, my friend, and when you step in the fray, anything can happen.
Yes.
You are in the
yes,
fray.
Yes, I am beanbags well. Deep, yes.
Yes, no question. You know, my wife likes to have fun. love her. That's her show. She does her thing. But you know, I guess, Katie, there has to be a difference between checking and fondling, because I do not get checked. I definitely enjoy a lovely fondle.
Oh, wow, Doug. I don't know why you're directing this at me. Please stop Nate
and Dave.
I'm glad.
No, keep directing it at Katie. In fact, Nate and I should just...
Exactly. Is she red yet?
Oh, man.
She's covering her face with a napkin right now, literally,
yeah,
Doug. She is bright red.
Okay. Yeah.
Well, I'm just saying that now, if you're fondling and you decide to check, well, then that's your damn prerogative.
Okay.
But I don't go for that.
So all just right. to be perfectly, because here's the visual I had.
No, like
I've been into Safeway
we're doing
before.
Visuals now.
And,
yeah.
Well, no, I've gone. We've all shopped in the produce section at Safeway, and we've all seen the scales.
You weigh your apples and oranges.
Yeah.
Then, yeah.
So there's not one of those in your bathroom or anything, right?
Freaking crazy, man.
Well, I mean, no, that's
no.
That's what I was going to ask, though.
Here,
like, I mean, Doug, there's a future revenue stream here, right? I mean, listen, this is the Jackie Christie method. You've got a video series, maybe a paperback book. I mean, she's got scales, methods, all kinds of ways to make money off of that.
Well, she can do whatever in the hell she wants. She just better not be trying to test my testes. God damn it.
Now, Doug, I know that you homeschool, right?
Yeah.
And the first thing I thought of when I heard this is that this cannot possibly be scientifically accurate. So I just want to make sure that when homeschooling your children, that you're the one doing the science lessons, right?
You are a piece of work. Oh my goodness.
I don't think this is scientifically accurate, this theory or method.
State of Texas homeschool
curriculum.
Come on.
Are you joking me? That's some hogwash is what it is. I mean,
is that a wives' tale?
I have no idea. A wives' tale, a nut tale, or some type of tale. But I see. I just don't know how far we could go here. So I'm borderline jumping off the cliff.
Yeah, we're right there. Yeah. We're at the line.
Okay, we're teetering.
Yeah,
I like it. I can teeter, but you know, empty or full, I personally don't think that you can tell the difference. Now, if they are cold, that is
a different
totally
story.
Different.
Yeah.
She mentioned
here we go, Katie, you're in the fray. So
yeah.
You know you've seen cold nuts before then. Is that what you're saying?
I am familiar with what cold weather and water can potentially do.
It's cold. It was cold.
Oh, it's cold. So, hey, I just want to know that you guys have please cut this up and splice this up and use this for Katie for going forward.
Oh,
because
thank you.
This should be some. This is some wonderful stuff. I'm
always looking out for me, Dougie Fresh. Always.
You know.
Always appreciate you guys.
To put a big exclamation point on the end of this, and then we'll move on to basketballs.
That was very nice.
Thank you. We've talked many, many times, Doug, and I think 100% of our conversations have always been about basketball and everything else. But there was a time in your life where I think a lot of the interviews you did were about your marriage and some of the unique things perhaps that happened. And we, I think, in Sacramento, we're so familiar with you and Jackie, and you guys are part of that Sacramento family that it's not unique or strange or whatever word you want to use anymore. Here's the thing, and here's what I know, and correct me if I'm wrong. You guys could wear Chiquita banana hats and do the tango every night at midnight while pouring Kool-Aid on yourselves. You guys are happy. You, I believe, still renew your marriage vows every single year. So I'm not the first guy to bring up to you that maybe there's some unorthodox things that go on between the two of you. But the bottom line is, and correct me if I'm wrong, you guys are in love. It works for you. So who cares what anybody thinks?
You know, first of all, yes, Dave. But the funny thing is, a lot of that stuff is absolutely bull. Some of it we just played up and just had fun with it because that's just, you know, I like to have fun. So, you know, that's just my deal. People actually believe that stuff. So, you know, whatever. I mean, my wife traveled and came on the road and all types of stuff, not to every game, but so did other people. I mean, we had Tyra Banks on there. We had a lot of different people on the bus and the plane and all types of stuff. But for whatever reason, they wanted to focus on me. So did I have fun with it? Did I play with it? Yes, I did. Was there a time where I moved my clothes from the locker room into the bathroom to get dressed? Yeah, because, you know, you got ladies in there and it was getting a little
weird. Hey, I appreciate that, Doug, by the way. Yeah.
Hey, some people tried to make a big deal out of it. Yeah. I just wanted to come in, be professional, be dressed, ready to talk to you and ask whatever questions that you had. So, you know, some people just made a big deal, and I like to have fun with it. And obviously, my wife, she enjoys having fun with it as well, and she kind of takes it too far from time to time. But, you know, when she gets in, I'll say this, when she gets in my fray, she's in my fray, and she knows that's not definitely a place that you want to be. But, hey, if she's willing, I'm willing, and shall we? Yes, we shall.
Doug Christie weighing in on the drive. Thank you.
Good work.
Yes. Hey. And I just want to know, what did I weigh in at?
Oh, man.
Just as much as you weighed in at yesterday. Polar don't get
empty.
Me in trouble.
Yeah.
Hey, last thing, though, and I don't think I've ever asked this or heard this talk, read an answer on this, but what about the hand signals? Now, that's true, right? You guys did have different hit. Now, she mentioned something about, I think it was like she had a hand signal for you need to smile and have fun more or drive to the hole. But I know this, I'm pretty sure. You guys would have hand signals just saying hi and communicating to each other, though. That's true, correct?
I mean, I never really looked at my wife when I played, to be honest with you. So if she was giving a damn hand signal, I had no idea what the hell she was doing. You know, I was locked in. You know, any signal she would give, if I was looking over there, she might look at me and go, smile, you know, because I'm pissed off things aren't going as I might like. But other than that, no, I mean, that signal just came from I love my family. It's, you know, things don't go good, as Katie knows, and you guys know, on the basketball court all the time. So sometimes you want to take your mind away from that, and it's bigger than basketball, as we're seeing with all this social stuff that's going on. And just to kind of re-up and get focused. And then it kind of just turned into a habit, and before I knew it, it was just something that I was doing I really didn't pay attention to. It's other people that paid attention to it that made it this big thing. So to me, a lot of this stuff is nothing. I joke and laugh, and I can be the butt of the joke because I enjoy laughing at myself. But if you're going to laugh at me, know that it might come back your way. And, yeah, you know, I'm just saying.
Doug, I'm going to transition now off of this topic.
Okay,
and
good.
So we can all breathe a sigh of relief and not have to worry about how we're putting things or where they're going or how much they weigh.
Yes.
I want to get in a little bit now that Summer League has wrapped up and we got an opportunity. I mean, we were all kind of maybe critical and interested in terms of the decision-making process for the Kings in terms of how they drafted and approached this draft this year. But now that we've had an opportunity to see these guys play, just your general thoughts on what you saw from the young guys during Summer League for the Kings this year. Any surprises jump out at you?
Yeah, actually, Scal, LeBissiere, whoa.
Yeah.
I You know, now I could be wrong because I've been wrong before, but I think that you could have picked him where you picked Papa Giannis, and people might have went whoa and criticized Vlade just like they did the way he did it, but he got Scal, and what I saw out of him blew my mind. I sat up on the couch because the guy he has length, he's big. I watched him grab a rebound, dribble it up the floor, change direction 3 times, stutter step and pull up for a jump shot that was actually wet, and I just went, whoa. Yeah, his skill set to me, it looks like it's really going to translate. I didn't see him that much at Kentucky. Part of it was he didn't play as much. He was in the doghouse. He was probably nervous as hell because Cal would make me nervous as a player. You know, I just want to please you, man.
Yeah.
Come on, man. So I really like what I saw out of him. I also like Malachi Richardson. It looks like he has been playing his own for quite some time because his lock and trail wasn't what I like to see out of him. But he has the size. It looks like he's going to be able to translate that. I didn't get to see Isaiah Cousins, but I like him at Oklahoma.
Right.
I was happy that we got him. He's a guy who reminds me of the kid Reggie Jackson.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know that he'll reach that level. It's possible he has the size, but out of all of them, Scal really jumped off. I think Papa has some work to do. He has to figure out that the NBA and NBA talent is different than what he's been facing. Mm-hmm. And he's going to have to learn that he's going to have to use his skill set, meaning the ability to pass and shoot and those different things, to kind of trump that whole athletic thing that he might face. And that's something that Vlade can teach him, because that's something that Vlade was able to do, was to use his skill set. And maybe Vlade wasn't the most athletic guy, but he could shoot, pass, see cutters, use his size, mm-hmm. Back guys down, all those things. But out of all of them, long story short, I really like what I saw out of Scal.
Yeah, I was impressed by him, too. I mean, we saw about a game and a half. You probably were able, being at home, because we were out there covering it, doing our radio show out there, so you probably were able to see a little bit more in-depth than we were. But the game and a half that I saw, I was actually impressed with Malachi in the sense that he has the ability on the defensive end to really be effective. Now, obviously, he's young, and, you know, you're right, he was probably playing in a zone and some stuff, but his ability and desire to play at that end were evident to me.
Yes, I totally agree with you. I think that he has the wares. He has the size, first of all. That's one of the things, like, you know, you have NBA athleticism, NBA skill, but guys have size. When you look at their hands and their shoulders, and do you belong out there just that way? And when I looked at him, he did. His ability, I think, to get his shot off, he's going to figure how to do that. He has the athleticism and the quickness. Defensively, I like the effort, no doubt, Katie. It's just technique-wise now. You just have to teach him the techniques to be able to, you know, halfway get behind a guy's back and don't get knocked off on picks, lock in, grab the outside hip, all these different things that he's going to have to learn, and hopefully he does, and I'm sure that they will teach him well, and I think he'll be good in this league.
Doug Christie joins us on KHTK. Now, Doug, going into this year,
Nate, you finally get to talk.
I know, I'm jumping in. I wasn't
He's really
sure.
Here.
He just recovered.
I was trying. It took me this long to actually formulate a question that seemed relevant to anything. Good to have you, Doug.
Come on, baby.
All right. So DeMarcus going into this season, he's entering his age 26 season. So he's like right in the thick of his prime. And it seems like the Kings kind of rode this offseason is to bookend their big talent with age. You know, like they added 3 solid veteran guys, you know, 4 roughly, but you know, get solid veteran guys, and then you draft some really, really young guys. What do you make of that strategy of kind of going at the extreme ends of veteran leadership and then, you know, raw talent?
You know, I really like the veteran leadership thing, because when you have young guys, if you have people, we'll take Caron Butler, for instance. He was fantastic last year. And, you know, just the calming influence, a lot of the times, that's where I learned. I was at the end of the bench with Herb Williams in New York, and I tell you guys, I got so much information from him. I probably got more information than him than I got from the coaching staff, who probably didn't take the time to talk to me the way that he did. So it is invaluable. Now, at the same time, you want them to be productive. So when you bring in guys that are going to actually help you on the basketball floor as well as in the locker room, as well as on the bench, when you look at Aaron Aflalo, Matt Barnes, those type of players, I think that, you've added age, but you also added experience. You added guys who can still get out there and play. So, Aaron, he's going to be able to score the basketball. Matt brings a different type of edginess on the defensive end. He's been in a lot of big games. So I dig that whole, kind of end of the spectrum thing where you got younger guys and you got older guys, because I think that if they can talk to each other and they can mesh, it can really be good for your ball club.
Last thing for you, Doug, my
last thing, what the hell, man?
Hey, I mean, we talked about
time flies when you're weighing nuts, man.
Yeah.
The photo on my Twitter handle, my profile, is a picture of the greatest show on court. You, Vlade, Chris,
you changed it?
Jason Williams, not Mike Bibby, and Peja Stojaković. Now, you can go to my Twitter handle at Carmichael Dave and look at this. It's the five of you, shirtless. I'm not sure pantsless or not.
You can't see.
Doug.
I do see a lot of thigh on you.
Well,
I see a lot of thigh on you, Doug.
Pantsless, I think you might see, Dave. Swinging in the wind.
I don't know.
That's
really good photography. It really makes you question.
There's a shadow around the. Anyways, I'm just curious if you've gotten any blowback, no pun intended, from any of your ex teammates for sharing this photo.
No, they don't like me anyway. No, I'm just kidding. That was a joke. I absolutely love them. I mean, come on. They know. That was what we were all about, was having fun and doing stuff like that. If you see the picture with all of us flipping the bird,
yep.
And some guys did and some guys didn't. It's what and who we are. Basketball, like they talk about baseball and Bryce Harper, it's supposed to be fun. We like having fun and beating crap.
Oh, dump.
All right. Matt George. Hey.
Love it.
Oh,
we made it through that whole thing.
We have a 5-second delay. Holy crap.
Yeah, we just had to dump that for sure.
Okay. So, beating people and at the same time having a good time. No, if they see me and they're upset with me, we'll get over it, guys. Come on. You should have took the damn shot.
I know. If you're going to have a problem with it, don't do it in the first place.
Yeah, more people on Twitter were like, all this stuff, and that's why now we know why you lost to the Lakers. Well, when you play against 8 people, you probably will lose. I'm just saying.
Hey.
I see what you did there.
Doug.
Sorry, I'm going off script now. Somebody reel me in.
Hey, you still got 6 or 7 to go before you catch up with Bobby, so you're in good shape,
yeah.
Doug.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Well, I've never, that's why me and Bobby roll together, because then he can go ahead and do that. And then I can just kind of stand beside him and go, come on, B, let's go. Forget about it.
We appreciate your time, Doug. I appreciate you being such a nice guy on the phone last night to me in my uncomfortable situation. And it's always, always fun to hear somebody being able to poke fun at themselves. So, hey, good interview, buddy.
Hey, well, what I always say is you got to learn how to get comfortable in an uncomfortable situation, Dave, okay? This is what I tell the athletes. They're down in a defensive stance and they look like they just want to cry or something. It's like, dude, just get comfortable. So, Dave, from me to you, there is no uncomfortableness between us, my friend. We can speak and chat. Now, Katie, on the other hand, we will try to make her as uncomfortable as we possibly can.
Doug, you're well aware of me off air, so I'm fine, but this was a very awkward position to be put in on air. But thank you for really testing my testing my level of comfort.
Hey, I just want to say she went 2 places there. She said awkward position. That was weird enough. And then testing. Oh boy, this is just too much for me.
I love you, Doug. Hey. I miss you. We can't wait to see you. Thanks for coming on.
Anytime, you guys. Go Kings.
That's Doug Christie.
Good chat, Doug.
Woo!
Nice talking to you.
my stomach just did a little turn there.
Hey.
Wow.
We got a break.
Yeah, we're speechless, so it's a good time.
We'll be back with Chael Sonnen on The Drive, Sports 1140 KHDK. Before we welcome on our next guest, too, some breaking news, very sad news out of the world of football. Former Mountain Lions coach, you'll know him as well as Vikings and Cardinals coach, Dennis Green has passed away to a cardiac arrest. That just over the wire a few minutes ago. More details on that throughout the day right here on Sports 1140 KHDK. All right, right now, a guy who I consider to be one of the, if not the best, interviews in sports radio, period, and a guy that I've had the pleasure of meeting quite a few times. In fact, I'm sad I won't see him today as I'm off to the Team Alpha Male Golf Tournament that he has frequented many times up at Cotta Vedera. It is the American Gangster himself, Chael Sonnen. Chael, Dave, Katie, Nate, thanks for the time this morning. How are you?
What's happening, guys? I couldn't be better.
Well, and today's a special day for you, and I don't know if this is a celebratory day or if it's just another day in the world of Chael Sonnen, but as I understand it, you're free now. You are free, and whether or not that means you're coming back to an octagon near you or whatever, your vacation from the sport is officially over, and that's got to feel good on some level.
Yeah, I suppose that is a relief. I didn't realize that. In fact, I thought it was tomorrow, but good for me. Couldn't happen to a better guy. Did the crime, paid his time.
How has life been for you now? You've got, obviously, your family is very important to you. You have a lot of things that you've done outside the sport itself. I don't know. Is it a different Chael Sonnen? Have you enjoyed the last few months? How is everything in your world?
Oh, I've had a great time. I started out really poor, so I've been suspended for 2 years. To explain for your audience what you're talking about, I've been suspended for 2 years, and so at first, I didn't know what to do with my time. I had, I'm sitting there with this free time and just staring outside, thinking, what do I do now? Once I figured that out, there's a lot of activities you can do if you got a little time to do it. I had a son. I've got a daughter on the way.
Wow,
and,
congratulations.
Why, thank you. And I moved 4 days ago, so I that was in the short term, but that's what I've been up to.
So, Chael, this is just a great quote from you that I just read, but you confirmed recently you were tested by the USADA, so you were asked if that meant a comeback was imminent. You said, quote, "Not if the test is as good as I remember it being." can you elaborate on that?
That thing, like, lightened up a little bit. But, the last one I took, those boys had no sense of humor out there. It's hard to say. And they never really told the whole story either. Everybody wanted to talk about the five things they found in my system. But they never wanted to bring up the seven things that they didn't find.
Well, it's if people talk about two of your highest profile fights, you're talking about guys like John Jones and Anderson Silva, who have now been through the ringer, and you're going to be talking about this at least for a little bit now that you're back in the game. But Chael, when you look at Lesnar, Jones, Silva, to a different extent, obviously Nick Diaz and his suspension for marijuana, as a connoisseur of the sport, is this a good thing that everyone's getting popped because that means the testing's working, or is this testing going a little bit overboard and people should just look the other way? Where do you stand on all that?
Well, so if you're to make the two arguments, protest is the correct argument. But there is another argument, and they step way outside of their lane. They're flagging guys who think we've never heard of. They flagged BJ Penn. He had to sit for an IV, and an IV isn't a substance at all. It's a form of administration. It's not even a substance, and he's out. And, some of these things get a little, they're just off. You just look around and go, man, that can't be right.
We lost him.
Oop, did we lose Chael?
Yeah.
I think we lost Chael. Yeah, we did lose Chael. Matt, we'll try to reconnect with Chael.
The guy's been off his suspension for how long, and Dana's already on his phone.
I know. Man.
Chael is a unique character, and he's one of those guys who I honestly believe, other than Dana White, and then maybe you can throw now, I think, Conor McGregor
right,
into the fray.
In terms of his
ability to promote.
Yep. See, and I put Chael at the top of that list because he's unattached currently. Right? He's got no...
Yep.
He's got no masters, for lack of a better term, right?
No. He is his own man. He is beholden to nobody. As we welcome in Chael, we had a rough connection there. Chael, you were in the middle of answering the question, talking about testing and the good and the bad with it.
I was in the middle of giving you the cure for cancer, and you guys talked about it. Now you'll never know. I was just saying, man, they get out of bounds sometimes. They took a girl's Olympic gold medal away because she had Advil in her system, and that's ridiculous. There's an athlete can't go if he's got a cold. He can't take a common cold medicine, and some of that stuff's tough. Look, if a guy goes to a doctor and his doctor gives him advice, you're telling me he's got to choose between his sport and his health. I think that's a little fugazi, but at the same time, I mean, they do catch the big things. They do catch the anabolics and the steroids, and so you get that line there, but there is a conversation.
Chael, with this said and done now, the suspension ending today, what are your plans moving forward?
Moving forward, well, I mean, nothing changes. I still got to get up. I got to take my dog for a walk. I'm not trying to be funny with that, but I just do the same stuff. I mean, whatever the day is, I work hard every day. I belong to a really good team. We got some guys that are getting ready for some big fights. I go into practice and help them, and they help me. And I don't have any changes.
Well, I know everybody listening right now, love you or not love you, enjoys your work in the octagon. Again, as we started the interview, you got a lot of stuff going on in your life. Is a return something that's at least in your head at all?
Oh, I think about it all the time. I'm not going to go back to MMA, but I do think about it. I was a wrestler in college. I had one match specifically. I think about it every day. If I could get in a time machine, I would go back to the last 40 seconds of this specific match. So I don't think that ever goes away. I've talked to some other fighters, Randy Couture, and some other guys that fought, and now they don't fight anymore, and they say, yeah, you better just get used to that. You're always going to fantasize and close your eyes and picture walking out and competing and being in certain situations and how you're going to find your way out of them. And so, yeah, I think about it all the time, but I'm not coming back.
Since you're getting a little philosophical, Chael, and it's no secret I've always been a huge fan of yours, I was about 20 feet away from you in Oakland in the fifth round of the Silva fight. And because you go back and because you think about things, do you ever sit and wonder if you had been a different fighter and you had just gotten on your horse in that fifth round and circled that octagon, how things might be different for you?
Yeah, that would have been a good show. That would have been one way to do it. Yeah, I was a little confused. I was very tired. It was very exhausting. It was my first time in a five-round fight. My coach had told me it was the fourth round. It was actually the fifth round. It was just a big mess. And I also didn't know tapping out would cost me the whole fight. I thought it just would, like, bring a conclusion to that round. I thought it would have been 4-1. We would have gone to the card. If I had any idea that that would have stopped the match in its entirety, I would have just hung on.
It's good to hear your voice. It's good to hear you back. And whether you ever step into the octagon or not, or you are on a broadcast team or your podcast, which is phenomenal, I do hope. I think the world is a better place with the brain in the mouth of Chael Sonnen. And Chael, I'm sorry I'm not going to see you out of Cata Vadera today for Faber's Golf Tournament.
You know what? I didn't even know about it, which means this is the first year that little turkey didn't invite me. He usually at least throws out the invite. And Mike Robertson, I thought, this year, this is how I'm finding out. So Uriah's going to be getting a call from old Chael.
And I have a feeling when I see Uriah today and I ask him, his eyes are going to get as big as pie plates and say Chael has a standing ovation or a standing invitation. Let's be honest, Chael, don't we throw the blame on Mike Roberts, our mutual friend, a guy who's handled a lot of business with you, for just, let's be honest, Mike's dropping the ball?
Well, I know we spread the blame. We just don't put any of it on me. That was really what I was trying to do there. I was just trying to shimmy and shake and get it off of me.
Chael, you're the best. We appreciate you joining us.
Thanks,
congratulations on your freedom, and really, honestly and truly, congratulations on the family. I know how important that has been to you over the years. Keep on walking your dog and have a fun life, huh?
Kaboom.
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 Thank you. That is Chael Sonnen joining us. You can follow him on Twitter at Chael, C-H-A-E-L, Sonnen, S-O-N-N-E-N. And as we were saying when he was on hold, Nate and Katie, one of the when he fought Anderson Silva, and this was at a time when Anderson Silva was the most unbeatable fighter in the world, you could not touch him. He was invincible. And Chael went on about a three-month rampage talking about Anderson, talking about his home country of Brazil.
Get it together.
You know, at least pretend like you're listening. We had no choice. Excuse me. We had no choice. That's what's great about broadcasting outside.
We don't have our cough button.
And if you've never seen
a sneeze button for me,
for you, if you've ever seen a radio program when it's off the air, especially with multiple people, before you go on the air, during the air, it's like, it's disgusting sounding. We have no way of covering that up today.
No,
so
we don't.
We apologize. This was awkward, and there was really nothing we could do about it as we were coming out of the break. And we had Chael Sonnen on hold. We needed to get to him. But we had breaking news. And it's always tough when you have a sad thing to talk about. And then it's like, hey, let's talk to the MMA guy.
Yeah.
So I want to revisit that real quick. Not to end the show on a down note. But Dennis Green, who you'll know, obviously, from coaching the Vikings, yeah, from the Cardinals. The whole crown them already. The speech that he did. Many different moments in Dennis Green's coaching life. And locally here, mm-hmm, was a coach of the Sacramento Mountain Lions. And I was the sideline reporter I was the Katie Christensen,
really,
of the Mountain Lions for radio. Yes, and one time one of my highlights was asking a player if he had trouble seeing the field goal poles.
Nice.
Yeah, it was great. I never lived
that. Was it that, or was it routinely getting shafted by Denzel Washington?
Now, I will,
game in, game out.
I've told this before, because Denzel's son played on the Mountain Lions,
right,
and Denzel and his wife were at pretty much every single game. And I've said, now the first year, yes, Denzel, I asked him one time for an interview, and he just gave me the look like, son, come on now. Like, he was in one of his movies. Like,
right.
I'm here to watch my son. Go away.
You felt like you were in Training Day.
I really did.
Go away, radio guy.
I really felt so ashamed for even making eye contact with him. But as the season went on, Denzel realized that I got brought down stats at the half, and I had a sheet with the stats that I was holding.
You had something he wanted.
By the second season, he would come up. He'd ask if he could take a look. I'd give him my stats. By the second or third game, I knew he was coming for me. He knew where to find me. He'd come get the stats, and we would do a little fist pound at the after he looked at the stats and
he'd
walk away.
We talked earlier to Doug Christie about the interview that his wife did with Basketball Wives, the kind of the promotion tour for,
yes,
the new season starting. And we all know, like, the Jackie Christie stories,
yes,
so it's, you know, and he confirmed on the show that some of them are just complete hogwash, that they just were having fun with people and people ran with it. But Denzel Washington's wife is pretty interesting from what I understand,
too.
You
know, they were married by the, is it the Dalai Lama? Dang it. They
Good
were married.
Lord,
in,
really?
No, it was. Look it up.
Consulate of Zambia.
No, it was. I want to say,
sure?
It wasn't the Dalai Lama. I'm being an idiot. I'll look it up. Hey, getting sidetracked.
The Earl of Sandwich.
Dennis Green. And the only reason I brought up the Mountain Lions other than the local connection is I can honestly say every dealing I ever had with Dennis Green, he was, despite whether they were getting killed or winning, just a cool dude, man. Just a really cool dude. It's just 67 years old.
67 years old, yeah. That's...
Much like many great coaches off the Bill Walsh coaching tree. Started as a special teams coordinator with the Niners in the early 80s. And you know, kind of a crazy thing about Dennis Green, and this is, we're talking about a guy that had a great run with the Vikings, right? And in a lot of ways, kind of spearheaded the moving forward of the Arizona Cardinals.
The Cardinals, yeah.
Although he did kind of some strange things, yeah, like start John Navarre in an NFL game. But I mean, that's kind of, you can look at Dennis Green's career and see, like, I guess basically what it's like to be an NFL head coach. Like, no one's going to look at Dennis Green and say, hey, greatest coach ever. But he had several years of great success, and, you know, he had some memorable moments, and he did some weird things. I think all in all, pretty memorable mark.
A hell of a talent evaluator, too.
Yes.
And those 98 Vikings teams.
Oh, dude.
That 98, the one.
Real quick, before we get out of here, Denzel and his wife Pauletta renewed their wedding vows in South Africa with Archbishop Desmond Tutu.
Oh, Tutu.
Presiding. So that's kind of a big deal.
Tutu.
Hey, listen, thanks to everybody who came out and dropped off school supplies. We want to make this very clear. We're just the beginning. We're the breakfast of this whole thing. The lowdown will be out here at noon, but we are out here till 7 p.m. collecting school supplies for foster kids. Thanks so much to Sleep Train. Nate, there's been a bunch of people out here helping out as well.
Yeah, including our friends at Hoblet Dodge. They got a couple of vehicles here. They're going to load them up with all your school supplies. And if you bring something down to donate, you can get an extra $500 off. They're already rock bottom prices.
We will see you Monday. Thanks to Bob Nightingale, Chell Sonnen, and the incomparable Doug Christie. For Katie Christensen, for Nate Goodyear, Matt George, behind us inside, our engineer Jason, our promotion director Nate, and everybody putting this together. Thanks so much. Make sure you drop your school supplies down here. 5244 Madison
recorders.
Avenue, as Katie Christensen takes us out with the audio of her senior year talent performance. We'll see you Monday at 6 a.m., kids, on The Drive, Sports 1140 KHDK.